It is not surprising. Statistics are now bearing out the reality that many of us have been painfully aware of for months now. That is that this pandemic has generated not only a health crisis, but also a mental health crisis. In a mental health crisis, we then also have a spiritual health crisis. Our emotions are frayed, our outlook on the world is skewed, our ability to be with one another is limited. We are hurting and need to be around each other, but struggle with also the cautions that we need to keep in place, the protocols that we've been hearing about and know are important, but the ability to even interact with broader family members and give hugs to the people we love more than anything in the world. We have suffered terribly over these last 13 months. The words that we share today from Psalm 23 and the 10th chapter of John, two of the most famous passages in both the Old and the New Testament, I hope will allow us to feel a sense not only of calm and reassurance, but of hope and of power. Let's remind ourselves what we've already heard from Psalm 23, the very beginning verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It was the spring of 1984. It was about this time of year, actually. I had the incredible experience of being able to serve for a time in Romania, specifically in a little town, beautiful spot called Sibiu, Romania, this Eastern European country. Sibiu was located literally right smack in the middle of Romania. And it was also located right in the middle of a region known as Transylvania, which many of you perhaps have heard of before. It also, Sibiu was very close to the Carpathian Mountains and what was known in the Southern Carpathian Mountains as the Transylvanian Alps. One of the pastors I was serving with was named Benjamin, and Benjamin was a pastor of a number of different churches in that area. One of them was in the Transylvanian Alps. One evening on this spring in 1984, we traveled late afternoon, moving into the evening, taking a long car ride up this, what started as an asphalt road, became a gravel road, then became a dirt road, winding up into these towering, gorgeous mountains. Now the sun had gone down, it was raining and cold, and we could hardly see. The lights from Benjamin's little car were illuminating just a little ways in front of us, and the rain now was becoming also filled in with fog, and it was becoming a little uneasy for me, wondering where in the world we were headed and what this place was going to be like. And we were a little bit late, so Benjamin was rushing around on this dirt road, now becoming very muddy, moving around these sharp turns, when all of a sudden the lights illuminated this strange figure. It was this figure all dressed in white. What I learned later was a large coat of white wool, a strange headdress of white wool, the rain pouring down, our lights illuminated this figure holding something in his arm. I learned later it was a large shepherd's staff. What in the world is this? Benjamin said, ah, it's a Carpathian Mountain shepherd. And about that time, we noticed just behind him, as he's still standing there with his arms outstretched, a whole flock of beautiful little lambs and sheep moving behind him across the road that we were zipping along, flying up into the mountains. This shepherd, this Carpathian Mountain shepherd, decked out in all of this wool and this strange outfit, had stepped out in front of our car and held out his arms, placing himself between us and the sheep to save them from being hit by our vehicle. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We get just a tiny little inkling, a little window into exactly what Jesus was talking about. Also clearly from that 10th chapter of John, referring to and using as his foundation for the words that follow, Psalm 23. Let's remind ourselves as we move through that famous passage, what it is that Jesus is sharing when he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What more do we need to know about shepherding? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. He facilitates for me. He allows me. He helps me to lie down in green pastures. The color green itself conjures a healing image, but this idea of green pastures, in my mind, I see these green pastures even speckled with wildflowers. And of course, for us, it's a calming, restful, beautiful image. It's one that in our mental health crisis, in our spiritual struggles, it is one that offers a sense of repose and hope and calm. But it's also essential because for sheep, a green pasture is a source of life, because it's this green pasture that the sheep use to eat and refurbish their bodies. It's how they not only stay alive, but it's how they thrive. The shepherd guides us to a green pasture where we not only can lie down, but we can be restored. He also leads us beside still waters. Sheep are not the smartest animals in the world, and I've heard a number of different folks describe how frightening it is for a sheep to try to drink out of a rushing stream. Still water, on the other hand, conjures this gentle, quiet, calming scene that for many of us, of course, just the idea of being around water, whether it's a pond or a lake or a gurgling stream or a bubbling spring or even the waves of beach and the sense of sound and rest that image allows us to imagine. This idea of still waters, of course, for a sheep is like the green pastures, a source of refurbishment, of allowing them to continue on the next day by drinking from still waters. It also conjures for us, though, this idea of depth and purpose. You've heard before, still waters run deep, implying that this is a space and a place for deeper thoughts, more investigation into how we can be better and healthier and more vibrant people in seeking to follow in God's way. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, the King James says. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul, or he gives back my soul. Many of us in this mental health crisis and the spiritual and theological emergency that many of us have experienced over these last 13 months, this idea of the Lord is our shepherd and facilitates for us a restoration of our souls, our very selves. This restlessness that all of us have felt over these last 13 months. St. Augustine of Hippo, one of the early church fathers, once said, Lord, our hearts are restless until we find rest in you. This is the imagery that is created by green pastures, still waters, rest, refurbishment, restoration, allowing our souls to be rekindled and reunited with our very source of all that is and is to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The next little phrase that concludes this first part of Psalm 23. He leads me along paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For me, there's wisdom in the ordering of this passage. For often when we have lost the essence of our spiritual selves, or when we're struggling with the soulfulness of who we are and are to be, it's very difficult to make right decisions. When we're fearful and anxious, it's easy to choose wrongly and do wrongly. I love the order and the imagery. He leads us on paths of righteousness, or as the New Revised Standard Version says, on right paths, making right choices, doing what is good and best, or at least better than what we would have done if we had been making our choices based on fear, anxiety, or selfishness. He restores our souls. He leads us on paths of righteousness, not for our own sake, but for his name's sake. This whole first third of Psalm 23, for all of us, ought to be exceedingly calming and reassuring. But then the imagery changes, and the tone itself, and even the language has a dramatic shift. The imagery here changes quickly, for it goes from this green pasture, still waters, restoration of soul, and walking on right paths, to suddenly now a starker image. King James again, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It is almost a frightening image, where this psalmist now goes from hopeful and restorative and calming to dramatic and even anxiety-producing. And it's not even worded as, "if you go through the valley of the shadow of death." It is, "even as I go through," or "when I go through the valley of the shadow of death." Some of you know that I've shared before my experience of leading groups and going to Israel and Palestine. And in 1982, I had my first journey to Palestine. This particular area is known as, and by the way, this is a picture of me in 1982. Notice I have a beard. I'm a little bit younger, but behind me is the important image. It is the valley of the shadow of death. The Arabic word or phrase for describing this area is called Wadi Kelt. But the tradition is, this is the valley of the shadow of death. Notice it is a valley, and even with the sun at its apex, there is shadow in the valley. It is also an area that Jesus uses as the location that he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, and locates it in this spot. I'm literally standing on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it is this strategic spot overlooking the valley of the shadow of death. It is loaded with imagery, and that parable in particular has a lot of added meaning just because of where Jesus places the story. But for our purposes today with Psalm 23, this idea of the valley of the shadow of death, the implication is that at some point in all of our lives, we will experience harsh difficulties. We will enter that shadow space, whether it's because of grief due to loss, or deep anxieties because of a pandemic, or job loss, or economic uncertainty, or family problems, or whatever it is that we're wrestling with and struggling with. This valley of the shadow of death is in many ways inescapable from our human experience. But listen to what else happens in this passage. So there's a shift in the imagery. There's also a shift in the language. Notice prior to this, in the first third, it is spoken of in third person singular. That is, "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." It's first person, third person singular. But the shift in language is dramatic here, because as the imagery becomes more stark and dangerous and anxiety producing, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Now it becomes second person singular. That is, it goes from this image of a kind of a distant, quiet, caring, but still far away idea of this shepherd who is caring but not nearby, to this intimacy. You are with me in the valley of the shadow of death. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Even the word comfort in this second part of the 23rd Psalm stands as a great signpost, because the idea of comfort, when we are in the valley of the shadow, we of course want to be comforted. We want to feel better about ourselves and our future and the possibilities that we will get out of this mess. But the word literally has with it, in its construction, comfort, the two parts with strength. It's not just a matter of helping me feel better about my condition. It is literally making me strong again, allowing me to cope on my own, not because of my strength, but because the Lord is with me. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Then we enter this third part of Psalm 23, which many find quite interesting and some even a little troubling. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, the first half of this phrase sounds interesting. It's a banquet scene, and who doesn't like a good banquet with lots of good food? The second half of the phrase is where the trouble comes in the presence of my enemies. It makes us wonder, well, why would I want to have a banquet, a party experience in the midst of my enemies? And there are those who say this is the psalmist's way of allowing us to understand that God is in the business of turning our enemies into our friends. Those that we've had enmity with, our enemies. We defeat our enemies when our enemies become our friends, or at least they cease being our enemies when they become our friends. This is a difficult time when we can't be with our friends, but we also know there are a lot of folks out there we don't agree with right now. There are a lot of tensions and problems and personal interactions that all of us have had. I know you have, and I have had, where we feel very uncomfortable around some folks. And for me, this is extraordinarily comforting. I realize it's not only through this passage and the Lord being my shepherd, and now in this intimate connection, you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, that I not only feel better about my condition, but I feel stronger in my position, not because of my strength, but because the Lord is with me and with you. And it concludes, surely goodness, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. I almost left this out. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Again, the image moves now from this stark image of the valley of the shadow of death to a banquet image where enemies have become friends, and the Lord has blessed me. The ancient Old Testament ritual of pouring oil over one's head. It is almost like an ordination service where you're being set apart as extraordinarily special. And as a result, my cup overflows, which is another one of those images which I just love. It conjures this sense of incredible abundance, so that it's not only enough for me, but it's enough for me to share, like experiencing God's grace and goodness in me. In fact, it's to be through me. My cup overflows, and it's not to be wasted. It's to be passed on and shared with others. As a result, then, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The 23rd Psalm, with this rich and powerful imagery, also is healing. I hope you feel that today, that there is this period we're moving into where our mental health crisis and our spiritual difficulties, we now are in the place where we together can start supporting each other in person. We can start helping one another heal again. Our spiritual and emotional wounds can be made right, not because of our strength, but the fact that we have been comforted by God in this place with us. Your rod, your staff, comfort us. Make us feel better, but even more, make us strong for now and for what lies ahead. But this ultimately is not about me, and it's not about you, because Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. As we conclude on these words and the image of Jesus standing before us with his arms outspread, may all of us now feel the power that comes from that image. We are not alone. We will not need to be alone anymore. Jesus, as our good shepherd, gives us his very self. And this, brothers and sisters, is the greatest gift of all. May you claim that this day and use that for your comfort so that you can be reassured and feel better, but even more so that you can be empowered and made strong again so that together we can re-enter the world as disciples of Jesus, following him because he has given and is giving himself for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.